Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
The basement, another week and more Pirates baseball to talk about. My name is Chris, and Craig Toth is sitting there ready to go. My friend, they made a move. I told you, we got to start thinking outside of the box, and the Pirates went and made a move already this week.
Yeah, and they did what we've talked about before, which is finding a pitcher who is either stuck in an organization or maybe has not found the success in another organization to try to see if there's something you can do with him. I mean, was only drafted in 2015 as a first-round pedigree out of Vanderbilt, which everybody, you know, seems to love. But he's a guy that just hasn't been able to find his mark in you know, the White Sox organization. He got picked up by the Tigers for a little bit there. But those are the types of moves that it's another one of those ones we talk about, Chris. It's a low risk, potential high reward. It's a guy that when I was talking with Gary before the show here, and I just basically said, this is a type of move. The guy's only 26. He has, I believe, one more year of team control before he even hits arbitration. So he wouldn't even be a free agent until 2025. If something would hit here, and if it doesn't hit, guess what you did? You picked him up, you DFA'd Guillermo Heredia, who we talked about was a filler for this season, who turned out to be a nothing, not a big risk there either, and you try to make these moves to try to, you know, to get moving in the right direction. So you got a guy who was a first-round draft pick, top 10 pick in 2015, and you got him for pretty much nothing.
So the guy we're talking about is Carson Fulmer, and we will have a really interesting interview coming up here in the back half of the show with the voice of the Altoona Curve. We're going to talk a little minor league baseball and what's going on in Altoona. But Carson Fulmer, you're right, top 10 draft pick. If I'm not mistaken, he was picked 7th in that season. And he's one of those guys that the White Sox thought was going to be somebody that could come in early. They felt like he could have been the next Chris Sale. Like, it would have taken like a year and he'd been ready to go, and he wasn't. And he's somebody that they had in their organization before they even started the rebuild that they're now coming out of. And he had run out of options and he wasn't working out for the Sox, and the Sox go ahead and let him go. He ends up over in Detroit. He's already made comments that he did not like the fact that they were shoving the cutter down his throat and making him throw cutters. Don Cooper, the pitching coach for the White Sox, loves the pitch. He makes all of his pitchers use it. He had never used it before, and he felt like he was being forced to do it. He had a pretty good game for Detroit, and then it became a numbers game in Detroit, and then all of a sudden he was out there. So this is his third team of the season in a shortened 60-game season. That's incredible. So I reached out to a friend of mine. His name is Jordan Lazowski. Jordan is a big stats guy and loves to break down pitchers. He's the editor-in-chief for Sox on 35th, a blog that covers the White Sox, and also the Diamond Digest, which covers all of Major League Baseball. And I got him on the phone, and I asked him his thoughts on new Pirates pitcher, former first-rounder Carson Fulmer. Here's what he had to say.
You know, it's a lot of unfortunate circumstances that has led to this. And, you know, when you talk about a guy like Fulmer, and, you know, I'm someone who's big into the analytics and the numbers of it, and you look at a guy who has all the pure stuff to be successful, but has never found a way to put it all together. It is not for a lack of stuff. It's not for a lack of ability. It's a simple fact of he can't throw up for strikes on a consistent basis. And that's the frustrating thing about Fulmer, to where someone just needs to lock in with him and figure out, okay, what works for you mechanics-wise? What works for you pitch sequencing-wise? What do you want to do as a pitcher? someone just got to let him go out for a couple weeks and just be Carson Fulmer and then reevaluate from there. I think he spent too much time with a team and there were too many changes trying to go on with the White Sox that really didn't fit what they were trying to do this year in terms of winning ball games. For the Tigers, they had a lot of young talent that they wanted to come or to have brought up and come test them at the big league level that didn't really fit what Fulmer was doing. But I think with the Pirates, if it's a rebuilding team like where the Pirates are, especially in their rebuild, you can afford to give this guy chances to work through it again. And I really do hope that they do and just really let him be him for a little bit and then break it down with the numbers and try and hone his craft again.
I really love the deal. I want to say that right off the bat, Craig. I love the deal for the Pirates because I'm going to tell you something. I agree with Jordan. I've seen Carson Fulmer in action. He has actually had these streaks where he's a very good pitcher, and his biggest problem has been just belief in his stuff, and he claims he was not treated the way that he wanted to be treated. It was basically like, no, you're going to throw this. And he's like, yeah, but this is what I'm good at. No, you're going to throw this. And if the Pirates can unlock this guy, you have not only a starting pitcher, but a potential top three in your rotation pitcher that you got for a guy that was a placeholder, as you said, in Heredia. That this would be, when you're doing a rebuild, these are the guys you start adding at the beginning. You have time to see if you can develop them, and if it doesn't work out, just let him go and it didn't cost you that much. But I mean, if it works out, he could be a piece, and he could be a real pleasant surprise for Pittsburgh Pirates fans.
Yeah, and like I said, he's going to be, like we're going to be talking to Garrett Mansfield from the Altoona Curve later on. He's going to be down there working, at least for the rest of the season, with Joel Hanrahan, who was just promoted to the Indians manager AAA prior to the season. So even if he has to sit down there in Altoona for the rest of the year and start, hopefully, if you know Major League Baseball is back, in AAA next year. I mean, this is a guy that you said this guy's you could take your time with.
I don't think you could take your time with him next year because he was out of options. That's why the Sox let him go.
Okay, because he's out of options. Okay, so yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. I mean, you could still let him sit down there for the rest of the year here and work on it in the offseason and for these last however much time here. I wouldn't want to see him unless he's comfortable with it to come up to you know, fill in a little bit. But there's been a lot of injuries, so everyone we've been picking up has been down in the site in Altoona and then has been up within the next couple, you know, days or weeks. So I don't know what their goal is with him here, but it kind of seems like he needs to work through some stuff. But I mean, if he's allowed to throw the pitches that he wants to throw, maybe he'll move along a little bit quicker than, you know, people expect him to.
This guy was a stud coming out of college and at a very high ceiling. He was not a missed draft pick. He's just a guy that didn't develop on the right timeline. The Pirates got something good there. All right, before we get to the big interview that you've got set up here, I want to just clue everybody in on something. This is all part of the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network. The Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network does a ton of different podcasts, okay? One of them is Bucks in the Basement. Another one that we do is called Sox in the Basement out of Chicago. So I have a little bit of background when it comes to talking Chicago White Sox baseball. And the Pirates take on the White Sox for the next couple of days. And I just want to know what your thoughts are, my friend, about this next couple of days here against a very hot-hitting team that has been destroying baseballs. And Jose Abreu, I think, hit four home runs in four straight at-bats over the weekend at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. What are your feelings going into this little mini set? And I think we'll have a contest between these two teams one more time before the year is over.
Well, the bad part about it, we were talking about this beforehand, Chris. The White Sox lineup absolutely destroys left-hand pitching. So Stephen Brault has been pitching fairly well for us this year, and he's a guy that you know, he does what he does. He's a good spot starter. He's a good swing man, but I just don't see things going very well for him in the first game of this series. I think it's like 8-10 on on Tuesday night. I see maybe Stephen Brault being out of the game by 8:35 on Tuesday night. I mean, it could be a shellacking, because what did they do? They went back to back to back to back.
They did that at one point over the last week. Here, let me tell you what they've done. They have not lost to a left-handed pitcher. They're 7-0 against lefty starters this season, the White Sox. And their team, that includes even the guys that aren't that good, their team has 1,000 OPS against left-handed pitching so far this year. 1,000. That's insane. That is a murderer's row against left-handed pitching. Brault should fake like stomach flu and not go out on the mound, because it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be brutal. The Pirates would be best served to just tell everybody to throw from the left side of their body to just sit down and relax for the next couple of days, because they just jump all over lefties. And Brault has ended up with a really bad hand for Tuesday night.
Yeah, he has. And then I think on Wednesday, aren't the Sox throwing Keuchel against us?
And he's on fire.
He's on fire right now. He's been pitching so well. I mean, that's just a great acquisition by them. I mean, that's a team that's like starting to go for it. I mean, that's where, fortunately, you got the whole COVID thing going on. But even before, when it was going to be a 162-game season, the White Sox were one of those teams that, you know, were starting to make that move towards being competitive. And he was just a great signing that was out there for anybody to be had the year before, up until, what was it, the Braves picked him up. And then this year, I know there were some suitors for him, but like, the White Sox jumped all over it, and it was just like a great acquisition for
them. And something that he's done that he had never done before, he is pitching exclusively from the stretch. And when he started doing that, the man who induced more ground balls over the last decade than any other pitcher in the major leagues percentage-wise is actually seeing that number go up and his ERA and his WHIP go down. So it is going to be a very daunting task for the Pirates over the next couple of days. But the most important thing is, it's a build, right? I mean, and what happened with Fulmer is a good step. And as the trade deadline approaches here, that's what you really got to be excited about, is the possibility you could see some moves get made for the future. I'm excited about the fact they went out and they grabbed Carson Fulmer up. That's a nice acquisition to go get, a guy that's floating out there. There's going to be other guys you can reach out and grab right now as teams are trying to get their rosters all settled, and you see this movement with the trade deadline, and you could also get involved in some deals. Do you think, especially because you're in there, writing for Inside the Bucks Basement, what do you and Gary Morgan think is going to happen at the trade deadline right now?
I mean, I think we're being maybe overly cautious about what's coming up at the trade deadline. There's been some names that have come up even more. I mean, the big problem right now is that Keone Kella went down with right forearm stiffness on Friday, and he was probably one of our bigger trade pieces, at least the ones that, you know, were on expiring contracts. But luckily, I mean, it's been pointed out that Richard Rodriguez, who, you know, still has some team control, I think he has 3 more years of arbitration coming up here, has stepped in and filled in pretty well and got his first save. So he's somebody that kind of has gone on to possibly the trade block. Adam Frazier still being floated out there. Trevor Williams is somebody that we brought up that has been floated out there again, just because teams are going to be looking for starting pitching with all the injuries that have been happening. I'm still extremely cautious about this and saying that there's going to be a lot going on, because I know there was, a trade between the Phillies and the Red Sox, which I know one of the top relievers in baseball got dealt to the Phillies from the Red Sox, because the Red Sox are absolutely terrible this year. But then even the return was some fringe guys. It wasn't like any, you know, big name prospects in my eyes. I think the one guy might have like crept on to like the top 30 list. I would have been more optimistic about this trade deadline had this been like the full 162 games, as opposed to, you know, what's going on right now. But we do have some pieces in Adam Frazier and Trevor Williams who would be more than rentals and would be for more than beyond this year. If anybody's moved from the team, I would see it being them or Richard Rodriguez. But we got to get, I mean, even if we can get cash or I don't even know, but a box of balls for Derek Holland and Gerard Dyson, get something for them. If not, they're just going to have to be DFA'd as well.
I want to tell you a quick story here before we head into our interview that just gives some perspective on the idea of trading away a player that you may like a lot as a Pirates fan and what it could actually give you in about 3 or 4 years. Because about 3-4 years ago, the team that you're going to see on Tuesday and Wednesday traded a bunch of players away. That was the Chicago White Sox. One of the guys they traded away was a player by the name of Adam Eaton. Now, Adam Eaton isn't a superstar. You don't see him in the All-Star game every year, but he brought certain qualities that the Washington Nationals wanted. And they dealt away 3 pitchers. All 3 of them have taken the mound this season for the White Sox as they come out of their rebuild and are right now in a position to make the playoffs and are just an absolute machine, just awakening probably an 8-year window to try to win a championship. Lucas Giolito, who's already made an All-Star game, Reynaldo Lopez, who pitched the other day and only gave up 2 hits over 6 innings, and Dane Dunning, who made his debut last week against Casey Mize and went strikeout for strikeout against the number 1 overall draft pick the other year, and they both struck out 7 apiece over the first 5 innings. And that was all from one guy, Adam Eaton. If your general manager can spot talent, you can build on these little trades right here at this deadline. And that's something the Pirates have to go out and do. It's time for Ben Cherington to go out and make his money. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens. There has to be some movement between now and the trade deadline for you to be excited as a Pirates fan. Because if he does nothing, then I got to call in the question, what's going on up there? There's moves to be made. Go out and make some moves.
Oh, I agree, Chris. I mean, you got to do something. I mean, I just don't know what the moves are going to be. And they may not be stuff that's going to, you know, make the needle move as of right now. And they may be like, oh, who is this guy? You know, who's this guy? You know what? You got to give it time. You got to see, you know, how they end up developing within the system. But like you said, Chris, they have to do something just because you can't stay stagnant for too long. Fulmer's a good ad, but there's more moves to be made before this season ends.
Craig sat down with Garrett Mansfield, the voice of the Altoona Curve, the director of communications, the play-by-play man out there, and he asked him a bunch of questions, and you're going to hear the answers next here on Bucks in the Basement, found everywhere podcasts can be found and always at bucksinthebasement.com. Bucks in the Basement is part of the Broadcast Basement on-demand radio network, which now welcomes the brand new Cinemental Podcast. Bunch of friends sitting around talking about a different film each and every week. And they get some great guests, the actors, the filmmakers. It's awesome. Delve into the world of entertainment news and talk movies with the Cinemental Podcast. Now part of the Broadcast Basement on-demand radio network. Get it now on Apple Podcasts or anywhere podcasts can be found. And at BroadcastBasement.com.
I'm sitting down here early on a Saturday morning, you know, back at the grind. I am here with a very special guest. If you've been out to a Curve game, you may have seen him. It is Garrett Mansfield. He is the play-by-play broadcaster for the Altoona Curve. He is the director of communications. If you've been lucky enough to see that there is a new podcast out there called The Roundhouse, he's had some good guests. He had Adam Berry on. He's been talking to some top Pirate prospects out there. And you can also read his work on Around the Curve blog. Garrett, how are you doing this morning, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Craig. Thanks for having me on.
We've seen Brandon Waddell get called up to the alternative site and then immediately pretty much get put into action here in Pittsburgh. Nick Mears, which to me, like, and it was nothing against him again, but I was just like, they saw something in him that, you know, he with not as much experience as some of the other guys is getting the call up. So what have you seen from some of the pitchers down there in Altoona?
Yeah, one of the things for Mears, going back to last year when he got called up to Altoona, I do the typical thing. Oh, here comes a reliever, and I don't have an immediate guide. I don't really know anything about, so I'm doing my research on him. And I'm just like, man, this guy sure likes a hell of a lot of guys. What's up? What's up with this? And, you know, so I kind of look a little, you know, back a little deeper and get a little bit of his story. And I don't do this a ton, but, like, there wasn't a whole lot on him. So I physically went down to the clubhouse and just chatted him up, like, hey, what's your story? There's, like, nothing on you. And we had a good talk. And after getting that understanding and talking to some of the other people on the pitching staff about him, and then watching him pitch for the first time, I was like, okay, I got it. Yeah, this guy throws 100 miles an hour, and he doesn't have a whole lot of miles on the arm. So, I mean, he's clearly a candidate that, or he is a skill set that bullpen needs. And I'm glad he got a chance to go back up and show what he can do. From Waddell, that was just an odd scenario. It was like all of a sudden he was here, and then he threw a little bit off the mound. And I think I heard a Joel Hanrahan joke saying, okay, you got 7 innings here on Monday or something like that. But that's, I'm like, you know, I take that with a grain of salt, because that's what the hammer does to guys. But all of a sudden, Waddell was out in Pittsburgh a couple days later. And so I think that shows that, and I've talked about this on our podcast before, is pitching, it's a different animal. As long as you have somebody to throw to, you can stay ready wherever you're at, and you can be at it in an instant, and who knows what's going to be the plan for you after that. And that was the case for Waddell. He'd been throwing and was ready to go, and the Pirates didn't have to really wait a whole lot to get him up there. Personally, that guy's a starting pitcher, first of all, and I hope he gets that chance. You know, it's probably going to be next year, but because they toyed around with him coming out of the bullpen last year, and it didn't go well, and then they sent him to Altoona, and he was just putting up zeros out of the rotation, and they sent him back to Indy, and he was Brandon Waddell again. It was incredible to watch. You know, he's just a mentally tough guy, and is, you know, probably one of the more important pitchers in curve lore as of the recent years.
I'm glad you brought that up about the part about him being a starter, and that was what I was kind of going to, is that I think right now it's almost going to be like plug and play and fill some holes, and we're seeing that. Even like I know that there was like the planned piggyback, but I've just kind of taken to the fact that there's going to be unplanned piggybacks, because if you don't have enough starters, especially since we have injuries up here, you're just going to have guys, and you don't know how, like you said, how much they've worked out down in Altoona, and you don't want to put too much stress on that arm. You don't want to bring them back too quick. You don't want to do all this stuff. So even like with a player like JT Brubaker, who is a starter, you know, people, it's like, okay, well, he was doing well for 4 innings. Why'd you pull him? And it's like, you don't know what what he's worked up to. You don't know what his pitch count is at that point in time. It's thinking that, you know, okay, he's a starter, so, you know, he can easily go 90, 100 pitches. It's like, well, no, some guys, you don't know where they're at, like in their process. So that's just like a thing that I comes out to me, where I just, when people are like, oh, he was pitching so well, why'd they pull him out? And it's like, well, they had him geared up for relief, and now he's getting put into a spot start. It doesn't mean that he's going to go, you know, the length that a starter would. So, but I'm glad that you brought that up about Waddell, but just because he does have, you know, that mental toughness, he does have that attitude, but he definitely, you know, they must have seen something from him to just basically bring him, you know, straight up and then straight up again. So I'm glad
exactly
to hear that.
Yeah. And to bring up, you know, the options for, you know, the pitching options that they have, you're starting to see some of the strategy here the last couple of weeks about going outside the organization to grab bullpen help. They've made recent roster claims, or actually they traded for Tyler Bachelor, and he's been up with the club for about a week, and then they claimed Nick Trapino from New York. Those are two outside the organization options. And with these injuries that they've had, I mean, they added Brandon Waddell, but hopefully Keller doesn't miss too much more time, even though, you know, as we're almost at midway point of the season.
Yeah.
You never know with that. Hopefully he gets back before the end of the year, and it kind of bring that relief there. But I mean, to me, On the roster right now here, you have Cody Ponce and you have Blake Cederlund as and Trapino as bullpen options for right now. And I guess you could grab Del Pozo back on the 40-man as well, depending if something happens. But other than that, I wouldn't expect anybody else to, regardless of a surprise or an emergency situation, everybody else is pretty much set up for here.
Yeah.
And all of those arms have not been, above AA at all. Cody Bolton, handful of AA starts. Max Kranick was set to be here this year. Braden Ogle, supposed to be in the bullpen here this year also. And Altoona and Aaron Shortridge, another starter to be in Altoona. But these guys are on this site roster, on the satellite camp roster, for those situations.
Yeah.
However, the only 40-man guy is Blake Cederlund, who he's still getting amped back up, built back up to where he was. And that's going to be a guy that's going to be very welcome in Pittsburgh when he does get there. And
yeah.
I think that it's just the scenario of working him back to where he was, because for obvious reasons, he had to be shut down for a little while. But he's a power arm that you gotta have up there at some point, considering the depth in the pen at the moment, and you never know who's going to be on the team in 9 days.
Yeah,
so
and then we see last night, unfortunately, Kella grabbing his forearm, and I know that Shelton said it was for caution, and I'm hoping that it was, but it's just, you finally get a good game last night and you get you get that going and the bullpen looks good and everything looks crisp. And it's like, man, just another injury. But that's like the other piece of that is, like I said, just you see it. We've talked about this on our podcast, Chris and I, just a number of pitcher injuries across Major League Baseball this year. And it's I don't know what the cause. It could be the layoff. It could be whatever. It could be, guys trying to throw harder than they usually are, trained to, or whatever it would be. I don't know what it is, but there's just been. So that's why, like in Altoona, it's like, okay, that's why you're bringing in those guys, just because I think that's where it's going to be. I see more arm injuries than I see a hamstring injury happening for a guy running around the bases, which could happen. But I mean, here's the thing is, we all know that pitching is, they'll always say it's like one of the most awkward things that any human being could do. It's a motion that, that's not natural. So there's just a whole lot of pieces that can go around there. And that's why, I love to see, I knew Hanrahan was getting, promoted to AAA, and now he's kind of AAA, but he's also still kind of Altoona, which is good to see.
Staff, yeah, if you look at the coaching staff, it's the AAA staff and some of the coordinators. So it's been an interesting group, because half of those guys were in our clubhouse last year, and now here they are again.
Yeah. So it's kind of, he's just like, man, I thought I was supposed to be an indie, and I'm found my way back to Altoona, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, I love going to both places, so I wouldn't put one over the other. Maybe I'd put Bradenton over it, just because of the, just the sun and everything. But other than that, Altoona and Indy, both great sites. But I could go on forever. But I just want to let everybody know that they need to go, get on your little device, get the Roundhouse, listen to Garrett on there. Follow him on Twitter. Follow the Altoona Curve on Twitter. Give them some love. Also read, Around the Curve, the blog and everything. And Garrett, I really appreciate you jumping on with me this morning and early on a Saturday. And look forward to talking with you again, man. All right.
Yeah, Craig, thanks a lot for having me. I mean, anytime you need a minor league point of view, I hope I can at least shed some light on everything, because there's going to be more news, hopefully, as the as the winter rolls on with all the negotiation pieces. But I tell you what, one of the big pieces of having the taxi squad in Altoona is to strengthen that relationship, and we have nothing but a strong a strong and long-lasting relationship with the Pirates, and we look forward to that continuing.
Man, that sounds awesome. I can't wait to get out there, have a Curve Burger next summer, and watch some Curve baseball, man. You take it easy.
That's it.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but they